What if kittens play the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Rarick, your host, and today I am joined, for the first time in a while, by my partner and the co-creator of What If World, Karen O'Keefe, known to some of you as Miss Karen.
Long time no see, everyone.
Hey, you have probably missed Miss Karen. I know I have. Our work schedules and parenting schedules have actually made it kind of tricky to record together. So we set time aside during our day. And thanks for being on the show.
I'm really excited to be here. A little nervous.
Yeah, I know. It's like shaking off the improv muscles.
I've only ever taken beginner improv classes, but I have been married to Mr. Eric for a while, so.
Yeah, you absorb improv by osmosis. That's how it works.
Yes.
Through the skin.
Well, and a huge part of improv and practicing improv is like playing, right?
Yeah.
That's all improv is. And I've gotten a lot of practice playing with my kids over the last 6 years.
So we will have one surprise question today from siblings, and I couldn't quite make out their names. It sounded like Cheese and Carmen, but I can tell you that they are from Saskatchewan. And then we have this other call-in question from a listener named Felix.
My name is Felix Olivier. I'm 5 years old. I really like my family. My one question is, what if the world was an apple, a big eat by a fruit giant in space? Thank you.
We love your podcast.
Ooh, I love a space adventure.
Mm-hmm. I also want to thank Felix's mom, who called in separately to repeat the question for us to make sure we understood it. So we were talking about this, Karen and I, before we sat down, and we've also watched a show, an old show, called Star Trek Voyager. Common Sense Media says it's okay for kids 8 and up. Most of it ages pretty okay, except for the Chakotay.
Yeah, but I find it really entertaining, and I love to have a space drama that's all about politics and morality and ethics, which sounds really boring, but it's actually really exciting and comforting.
Yeah, there's lots of cool creatures in Star Trek Voyager, and we have some references to that show in this one, so if you don't get them, no big deal. And if you do, then, you know, you're in the club. Hello. So let's find out, what if the world is an apple being eaten by a fruit giant in space? Plus a surprise question from Carmen. As many of you What If listeners will know, all the people in What If World ended up invisible recently. It had created some drama, and Abacus P. Grumbler was watching all the invisible kids at the observatorium to keep them safe, and Carthuncle was put in charge of all the aquatic creatures to make sure that they were safe while invisible and weren't accidentally, I don't know, eating each other. I'm sure there are plenty of things that could go wrong with a bunch of invisible creatures swimming around in the same space.
How is Carthuncle watching everybody if everybody's invisible?
That's a really good question. Well, Carthuncle has about 11 teen senses, as he's explained to me. So while he can't see any of them, he does have many other ways to perceive the people around him. That's why he was elected to keep people safe in Squid Lake.
Of course, he was elected to keep people safe.
Yeah, Carthuncle. So let's hope he doesn't eat anyone today, especially not me.
Oh, I would never, Mr. Eric. Not unless a what-if question told me to do so. I mean, I'm at the will of the children, really.
Yeah, sure you are.
Hello, are you home? I'm here to check on you and Scully the squid.
Oh, hi, Carthuncle.
Miss Karen, what are you doing here?
I'm just here to hang out. It's been a little weird since I can't see anybody. I keep bumping into everybody. But it's been so long since I've visited Squidarella, my good old friend, and I wanted to say hi and provide some support.
Yes, your underwater suit is, did you sew that yourself?
I did. You have to do a really, really small stitch length in order to make sure it's waterproof.
Does that work on the helmet as well?
No, the helmet is just magic.
Fair enough. Scully, Scully, your uncle is here.
Hello, Hulk's uncle, hi. Yep, come on in. Scully's been excited to see you.
Really? Well, of course, I'm not surprised by that.
To be clear, not see you, but, you know, be in the same general vicinity as you.
Yes. I think my ink might still be visible if I... Can you see that?
I don't like where this is going.
Well, now you're swimming in it anyway.
Oh, that's okay. I've got my suit.
Good uncle, get in here. StarQuest is about to start again.
I understand the word again.
It's a TV show we've been watching. The safest thing we can do since we can't see each other is unfortunately just sit on the couch and watch TV.
There are times, especially when you're trapped inside, where, you know, you just gotta do the screen thing. Or, you know, if you're interdimensional Squidopus, you can open your mind to the infinite dimensions around you. And just sit and watch them, you know.
I wonder how StarQuest is gonna seem with your 110 senses.
I'd be very, very surprised if Scully was able to find a show that could entertain my multidimensional mind.
Oh, well, I've been really enjoying it so far.
Hey, will you squid down already? The show is starting!
And now back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Chronospace Pi Point 3. We've been sent to the planet of Aplonia, where they plan to launch a missile of seeds to destroy their orbiting moon. I believe it's called the Hero-Orange. We've detected life on this planet on our detectors, and we want to make sure that they're not going to commit some
Captain,
sort of...
Captain, are you still doing your space log?
Yes, Needlix, what do you need?
The question is, what do you need? You're always doing space logs and saving planets, but sometimes you just gotta eat some spaghetti slime.
Yes, Needlix, thank you so much. You've been such a wonderful chef.
Why does she look like a big sort of triangular-shaped person?
Shh! Kadunkly, don't interrupt the show!
I'm sorry.
And that was my plan for saving the Hero-Orange.
That's a fantastic plan, Needlix. However, I don't think that we can save it by eating it.
Oh, yeah, that probably makes sense.
6 of 7 to Captain Bree.
Captain Bree reporting.
We've sensed on our long-range detectors a change in the bichronal tally force field. We believe this represents an escalation in the Aplonians' hostilities towards the Hero-Orange.
Not the escalation of the fringe of the space nogs.
Needlix, I'm afraid we've got to get going.
Okay, I'll report to the bridge. I know I'm the ship chef, but you really need me when it comes to food-based disasters.
Needlix, you're my go-to in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Bree to Jagote.
What's up, Cap?
I need you to meet me on the bridge, stat.
I hope that the great space goat in the sky can guide me there. Okay, I found it.
Captain Bree, we are being hailed by the Aplonians.
Put them up on screen.
How dare you interfere with our planetary dealings? Who are you? Identify yourselves.
This is Captain Bree of the squid ship Squiggler. We've identified life on the Hero-Orange. You must not destroy it.
But the Hero-Orange is eating our planet. You would respect one form of life while dooming another. This is a moral conundrum that you will never solve.
Just give us a few days.
A few days? You have a few minutes!
Whoa, the stakes are really high. I shouldn't have stacked those stakes so high. Hang on, they gotta take care of this steak stack.
Why is this Needlix character on the bridge? They're just some sort of, like, furry creature with a long tongue. Sounds a lot like Fred the dog.
I mean, I think he's there for comic relief.
I think he's there for
Tubesock, I need you at strategy. Harry Jim, run down to engineering and see what we can do to get there faster.
I'm on it, Captain.
The Aplonians are powering weapons, Captain Bree. They are aiming straight at the Hero-Orange, which, of course, as you can see through the viewing screen, is a giant moon in the shape of an orange.
Tube Sock, I need options.
Captain, why don't we position our ship between the Hero-Orange and Aplonia, thus preventing the Hero-Orange from eating the Apple Planet?
That's a great idea, Chakotay. How fast can we get there?
We're already there.
Fantastic. Aplonian's up on screen.
How dare you go about saving our planet without our permission? Always meddling in astronomical affairs. We wanted to blow something up!
We've detected life on that orange, Colonel Crisp. We cannot allow you to destroy it.
Well, at least you are preventing it from eating us. Very well. We will give you one extra minute to do something very impressive before we destroy it.
607 to Captain Bree.
Yes, Six. What have you got?
I've noticed a slight change in the dimbilateral orgosphere of Aplonia. It appears to be slowly growing.
Oh, I've seen this before on my many journeys across this quadrant of the galaxy. It seems that this planet is one of those planets that's just always growing unless another planetary body eats it, like yum 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 style.
That sounds very unscientific.
Hey, I'm the eating expert. You're the science expert.
I am tactical.
They just all look like computer stations to me.
I agree with Needlix. None of this makes much sense. Seems like they've just replaced magic with science.
Uncle!
Colonel Crisp, come in. We've detected a grave danger to Aplonia.
Yes, indeed. That planet eating us.
No, your planet is slowly growing. If it continues to grow at this pace, it's going to be knocked off its elliptical orbit and fly out into space.
But our elliptical orbit is what makes life on Aplonia possible. You must save us, because I already launched the missiles. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, I just got teleported back after running across the station. I realized we could have done that in the first place.
Thanks, Harry Jim. Can you lock on to those missiles?
We're too close. Our only choice is to use our own shields to prevent the explosion of the Hero-Orange.
Finally, some explosions.
Oh no, the shields are down and also life support and other stuff. Like
my food replicator, which I use for all the cooking. I actually don't know why I have a job. No!
Captain, with our shields down, the Hero-Orange is moving back to resume the eating of the planet. Except,
we're in the way, Captain. You gotta get those shields up somehow. I don't know how.
Captain, I've tried everything, and we cannot regenerate the shields down from engineering. Someone needs to go outside of the spaceship.
I'll go. The great goat spirit will protect me, probably. Oh, space hurts!
Chakotay, back in here at once. I've been meaning to keep this a secret, but here goes. Turns out, I am actually made of cheese. And I can go out into space without a suit.
I mean, I totally saw this coming. I pointed out her shape earlier. How has no one seen
Look
this?
Look, she's going out on the craft of the ship and she's freezing over. That's really dramatic stuff. Stop interrupting.
Six, I need more gravity. I'm floating off the side of the ship.
I can't get it for you, Captain.
You gotta use that squishy, sticky Bree nature of yours, Captain, to hold on to the hull.
And then you gotta stretch out part of your other squishy Bree, like a tongue, to lick the manual lever and get the shields back up.
All right, I've got a hold of the lever. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1.
Why, she can speak really clearly when her tongue's out of her mouth holding something.
That's why I'm a captain.
You did it! Because now the Hero-Orange is just sort of gumming you. Like a hungry lunar baby!
Well, we have to respect life in all its forms.
Captain, we will teleport you to medbay.
Tis I, the ship's doctor!
Oh, this one's my favorite, Kathunkel. You have to watch.
I've been complaining this whole episode about how I'm not let out of my doctor's bay, but someone seems to have turned off my comms, Captain. Captain? Oh, you're frozen. I should do something about that. Now, Captain, if you would only listen to my several complaints and demands.
Thank you, Medic, but I've got to get back to the bridge.
It's just tough being a giant square blob. If you would only make the ship's doors a little bit wider for me.
Oh, she's gone.
We got the Aplonians back on comms, Captain. They're waiting for you.
Put them on screen.
Yes, Captain Bree. You have saved us, apparently. Could you explain to me what happened? Perhaps using an analogy.
Colonel Crisp, you leapt before you looked. In your desire to blow up the orange, you almost destroyed the entire world.
We are forever in your debt. Would you accept this chrono fuel as our thanks? We heard you are stuck in the past and it can launch you 1,000 years further into the future.
Captain, that would put us only 7,339 years from our target.
We accept, Colonel Crisp, and we appreciate your generosity. Please try to take a little more time before blowing anything up.
We'll instate a mandatory 10-minute talking about it phase for next time.
Six, can you beam down some of our telemetry equipment so that they can better identify the cause of some of these issues that they're having?
Nope, I hate it.
And thus continue the adventures of the Squid Ship Squiggler. Until then, journey home.
So, Kathunkle, what'd you think?
I was totally lost. I feel like I should have seen the first half of that episode before just jumping into the middle.
Scully, I really liked it. I couldn't believe that the captain was cheese. That was a big surprise to me.
I know! This was the episode where... I mean, I've seen this whole show before. But yeah, that's the one where you finally realize that she was cheese all along!
I don't get it, Scully. I mean, if they're trapped in the past, then why do all these people have space weapons and chrono fuel? There's no such thing. When you need to travel through time, you just open up time with your tentacles and you step on through.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't get it, Kathunkle.
Kathunkle, can you tell me a little bit about the very deepest part of the ocean? I'm sure you've been there.
Well, it's kind of dark and dense. Not too dense for the likes of me, but I didn't really get a good look because my eyes were squished.
Did your Zaza ever tell you any stories about it?
Well, Zaza and Nini had their own interests. I just had to kind of do what they were doing, which was, you know, taking over universes and whatnot.
Oh, that sounds really sad.
I'm sorry that was true for you, and, you know, thanks for sharing and everything, but, like, you could kind of take an interest in the things that I'm doing. I mean, you at least sat through the show. That's something.
And I was only moderately critical.
That's better than extremely critical.
But there's room for improvement.
Maybe I can come back again and watch another episode, if that would be okay with you and Squidderella.
Oh, yeah, because next week's episode we meet Vaniac, who's a villain so muscly that their muscle veins have veins.
Nope. I will keep an open mind.
Scully, can I come back too?
Anytime, Miss Karen. Although, you might want to sew a patch in that suit of yours. There is, yeah, you're getting a little swampy.
Is the ink getting in me? Oh.
Don't worry, it's invisible ink. Oh, actually, you're turning a little invisible too now. You might want to get
Wait,
on.
Wait, how am I going to get back to what is world?
We'll figure it out next week. Oh, Karen, we did it!
Oh my gosh, that was really scary.
Our first guest episode in a while. I'm assuming you're still in the studio with me. I'm just kind of hearing a disembodied voice, but...
Hopefully this invisibility will wear off the longer I'm in What Is World. Maybe I'll have a shower, wash some of that ink off me.
We could always ask Needlix to come through and, you know, into the studio.
And give me some licks.
Yeah.
I do miss some good doggy licks. Is Needlix a dog?
It's
Let's
never
say
really
an
clear.
Alien
He's,
dog.
Yeah, he's got those long, tufty, furry ears. Definitely a dog-like alien, I would say. Well, hey, folks, thank you so much for listening. And we want to thank Felix for their question. And we also have this question to play from a listener named, I'm going to guess, Carmen.
Hello. We are here and Carmen. We are from Saskatchewan. And I want a question is, what if trees could fly up into outer space with a rocket?
Yeah. What's one thing you really like?
And one thing we really like is Mario and Luigi and Yoshi and Toad and Bowser Jr.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, what if world.
Ah, cheese can fly into outer space. So, yes, that is how Captain Bree was able to fly out and save the ship at the end of the episode. Awesome stuff. Thank you so much, Miss Karen, for coming on the show today.
Until we meet again, keep wondering.